Welcome to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world with hosts Franny Petrin and Dave Carson of Management Mentors. Whether you need mentoring training, consulting, or a better way to manage your existing mentoring program, Management Mentors is here to help. Now, here are Franny and Dave.
Good morning and welcome to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world. I'm Franny Petrin, president and founder of Management Mentors, along with my partner Dave Carson, who's in the UK. Welcome, Dave.
Good morning, Remy.
I hope that you were able to catch our show last week on the difference between coaching and mentoring. If you did, please visit our website, www.management-mentors.com, and you can be able to download that and listen to it. Also, just a reminder, we welcome your thoughts. You're sharing your positive and negative experiences on mentoring by emailing us at eradio@management-mentors.com. Okay. Today we're going to talk about best practices in mentoring from the purpose, design, training, support, and evaluation standpoint. So good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Okay, last week we talked about what mentoring is, how it differs from coaching, and why it's important to individuals and businesses. Today, Dave, let's talk about what makes mentoring programs work. First, let's talk about your purpose in having a mentoring program. And I'm going to ask a leading question here, Dave. Is it enough to say the reason I have a mentoring program is because it's a good thing to do?
Well, it sounds that way, Randy, but actually no. I mean, while intentions are good ones, it's not a good enough reason to have a mentoring program. I think you must consider what you want your mentoring program to specifically accomplish. Is it mentoring or, as we discussed last week, coaching? But in addition, what's this sort of strategic business objective is mentoring being tied to? Are we attempting to attract and retain talent, strategically enhance our diversity initiatives, make our succession planning programs more effective and powerful? I mean, if there's no strategic business objectives, then my advice is not to pursue a mentoring program. Now, Remy, can I give you an example of this?
Absolutely. I think that would be helpful to the audience, Dave.
Well, perhaps around about 4 years ago, I was called into a local authority in London, and they told me they had a mentoring program, but it really wasn't gaining much momentum, very little attraction to the program. And when I went in to discuss this with them, I asked them for their objectives of the program and the guidelines, the purpose of the program, and there was nothing to hand. And I said, well, you know, what's the history of this mentoring? Because they told me they'd had a mentoring program. Now, what happened, Rennie, was in the past, they had had a mentoring program geared at female staff within the organization, very focused. So people looking at this program, they would know if they should have been on it. And what happened was the program was so successful that they decided to open the program up to everyone. And so it became just a mentoring program.
Yeah.
There was no clear focus, no clear purpose. And so nobody applied.
That's
what happened.
Yeah, it's a common misperception that I get from clients as well, which is, well, we want to do mentoring, but we want to do it for everybody because we think that we shouldn't exclude anybody. And that's making the assumption that everybody, first of all, needs a mentor. It's making the other assumption that everybody is ready for a mentor. And
absolutely,
the third point, which is that you have enough mentors to meet the population. I mean, mentors are busy, and not everybody who's capable wants to be a mentor for a number of very valid reasons. So that's such a common misperception. It kind of, what I would say, is kind of a misguided egalitarianism. It's like, well, because of the past, you know, informal mentoring tend to exclude people, so now let's make it available to everybody as though somehow that's going to make it better. And it really doesn't, actually. It really leads to those issues you talk about, which is nobody really either applies or they get very, very mixed results in that initiative.
Yeah, and I think also, Rennie, they don't, in my view, a lot of people don't link it to their strategic business driver, I mean, which relates to the first point of strategic business purpose. I mean, one follows the other.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we can be helpful to our listeners here, what we mean by this is, you know, it's turnover of staff an issue and with which population in your organization, or are you losing your most talented individuals? You know, as one consultant told me once, are you training your competition's workforce? They work for you and become skilled, then they go work for your competitor. So,
yep.
I mean, that to me is a really important strategic business driver. if people are leaving the organization and taking all that corporate knowledge with them, you know, we need to tap into that. And I believe, and I know you believe, Renee, that mentoring is ideal for that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that having a strategic business driver does a couple of things. First of all, it commits the organization to mentoring because we know the senior management is interested in things that are going to generate results. And if senior management is not particularly interested in supporting this in any way, it's going to be useless to the organization. And having senior management buy into the fact there's a strategic reason for doing this, such as we need to help reduce turnover, we need to retain our talent, we need to be able to move our diversity people within the organization in ways that they've not been able to move forward, that kind of bottom line business outcome will get people to commit to the program. And it also allows the individuals who are going to be mentored to see the commitment on the part of the organization because there is that strategic business reason for doing it. So it's not just we're just doing it because we want to throw a bone at you. We're doing it because we really think this is an important thing in your development as you grow with us to make the business more effective and more competitive in today's world.
Oh, I think that's absolutely correct. So Rennie, let's just recap. For a mentoring program to work, we've got to have a clear purpose, a clear focus. We've got to have the business drivers in place.
Yep.
But there's something else, Renee, and that's around the guidelines of the program. You know, when I go into organizations and talk to them about the design process, one of the things that they are really delighted about is that what our programs do for people is it empowers them to go and mentor. I don't know if you've come across that, Renee, but that's what's said to me. When we start to develop guidelines, because very often, you know, people will leave a mentoring training program and they'll say, well, when should we meet? How often should we meet?
Exactly.
If we've got a problem, who do I call? And one of the key things that we do is take people through a process that talks about the guidelines of the program.
Yeah, and those guidelines... Yeah, and those guidelines are really critical because they bring clarity to the relationship. It really is amazing to talk to people in companies who basically think that mentoring is done the following way. We ought to have a mentoring program because it's a good thing to do, and we're going to bring mentors and mentees together, and, you know, we expect that they'll figure out what they're going to do because they ought to be able to figure that out themselves, and it's really the right thing to do because then they can make the relationship their own. And think that's all there is to it, when in fact it's not just that they should figure it out for themselves, because if they have to figure it out, they're going to waste a lot of time instead of getting involved in the relationship. I mean, if you and I sit down and we want to have a mentoring relationship and you ask me, what should we do? And I say, well, I don't know, Dave, what do you think we ought to do? Then we're both going to look kind of silly. So in many respects, what needs to happen, well, why the guidelines are valuable is they help to bring clarity to the relationship. They set boundaries within the relationship, such as how often we're going to meet, as you indicated before, how long we're going to meet for, what is our focus in our relationship, do we have specific learning outcomes we're aiming for, what's the role of the manager, what's the role of the mentor vis-a-vis the manager. Those guidelines help to protect the integrity of the mentoring relationship, the boss-manager relationship, and the integrity of the individual and the company. And it's not difficult to do, but it's an important piece to do, and people often forget that.
And Renee, you know, you touched on something there that's really important, and I think we should emphasize this, that when people look at this, what we call a program descriptor, which is a program handbook, if you like, that contains the purpose, the business drivers or the goals, and the guidelines, that could very easily be dismissed as a list of do's and don'ts for mentors, when in fact, nothing could be further from the truth.
Exactly.
Because this is really a tool to do something very important, and that's build the relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, what I say to people sometimes, Renee, is if you invite someone round to your house for a meal, unless they've specifically been introduced round to your house to criticize your cooking... Then what's the purpose
of the meal?
Well,
maybe they need to do that, but that's another point.
But that's right. But the purpose of the meal is you get together and you talk.
Yeah.
And that's the same with the program descriptor that we help people to create. It's a tool to help build that all-important relationship.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we do, we call our program MentPilot program, which is, you know, a program that covers all the best practice from the design of a program to program guidelines to matching to training to follow-up to evaluation and transforming out of the relationship into an informal relationship, if that's what you want. We call that MentPilot program, and that's based upon our 18 years of experience in matching people, in training people, in providing the kinds of guidelines that ensure success of the relationship. And I'm very proud of this statistic, and I know I've shared this with you before, Dave, but in our programs, we have a 90% success rate in our matches. And I think it's because we do it right from the beginning to the end. And these are formal programs, and these are programs where people are actually matched artificially. I mean, you know, that there's a debate within the community about whether, you know, whether it's appropriate to force people to work together by forced matches or artificial matching versus allowing people to select. Now, we've done both, so the success of both. But most of the ones we've done have been people being matched by a group of individuals. So they are artificial matches, but they've been highly successful, and I think it's because if you take the issue of its compatibility, not chemistry, and you bring people together who want to work together, and you give them the guidelines and the structure, which is enough structure to build the relationship without necessarily interfering in having the relationship they need to have, then you're going to have a very successful program. And our programs are successful because we bring that kind of expertise and knowledge to the table. And that's why our clients are so happy about what we've done and are and hear such good results once they get evaluation.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it's important to mention at this point, Rennie, that the way we design our programs are built on our professional standards, which have been created over many years.
Right.
And we have 8 standards in design, implementation, matching, training, program management standards, program evaluation standards, the ongoing quality control standards, and an area that sometimes people forget is the role of the mentoring program manager standards.
Yeah, that's a very critical area, and I know we're going to be discussing the role of program manager in one of our other shows, but it's a very, very critical piece of the puzzle when we talk about having a successful formal mentoring program. So I think these are all really important points to keep in mind, which is that you have to have a good design, a good strategic business purpose. You need to have guidelines that give people a sense of structure that is helpful for them building the relationship. And you need to provide training, ongoing support, and then eventually evaluate your program. And I know that we're going to need to break right now, but when we come back, we'll talk about the key players in mentoring. Don't forget, please, to share your mentoring experiences at eradio@management-mentors.com. We really look forward to hearing what you have to say about your positive as well as negative experiences. And by all means, please do email us at that same email address to ask any questions you might have while we're on the show. Thank you for listening to Mentoring Matters.